Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Psalm 150, we have a lot to praise the Lord for, and that's what this psalm is about, praising our God and our Savior. His grace is amazing. Amen. We start off in Psalm 1, and we see that we're blessed, and you can see how to be blessed. And we get to Psalm 150, the last psalm in the book. There's six verses there about praising the Lord. It says this, Psalm 150, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen. Turn over to Psalm 34. You're already in the Psalms, but turn over to Psalm 34. All ready to go for a Lord's Day. Yesterday afternoon, I was thinking, in fact, I thought it in the morning, I thought it in the afternoon, I thought it before I went to bed last night. I felt pretty good. Got a Bible message ready for today, and I'm ready to preach and ready to go. The parking lot is all cleared of snow, and some people just take that for granted, but that's volunteer work that plows our parking lot, and it takes 3 and 4 hours every single time. It's amazing. And we're running out of places to put snow, but glory to God. We knew it wasn't going to snow last night, and the parking lot was ready, so I was feeling good about that, feeling real good about that. My white shirt, all day long, because I did it in the morning, was ironed and hanging in the closet and ready to go for Sunday. So I was ready to preach all day long. Some of you don't even know that, do you? I am so underappreciated. And my wife is not the one that irons my white shirt. It's me. She said... She told me years ago, that's just how it is in my house, because I run my house, right? All right, I'm the captain of my house, the captain of my castle. She said, Tim, I am not ironing your shirts. I said, okay, all right. Yes, dear. And I iron my white shirt every time before Sunday, so I'm ready to go. And I am one that believes, this is tongue-in-cheek now in case you're a visitor, you can't get filled with the Holy Spirit without a white shirt and cowboy boots. That's just how it is. Now, one of them's halfway, the other one... colored shirt. Yeah, there's a drift going on right there. I'm worried about that. Psalm 34, we're trusting God is going to bless today in a great way. I'm not going to preach. This is going to be one of those unusual Sundays where I'm not going to preach against sin. So you know what? You can kind of relax just a little bit. And because I want to encourage you. It's been a tough winter. It's been a tough winter weather-wise. It's been a tough winter in a lot of ways. And there's been some casualties along the way. It doesn't have to be that way. I want to encourage you this morning. I want to encourage you as your pastor, as the under-shepherd of this flock, of this congregation. Our God is worth everything we give to him. He deserves our devotion. He deserves our praise. He deserves everything that we have. Hold nothing back from God. Not even any little, even your idiosyncrasies, give them over to God. God is going to bless. And we need God in this life because we all, like I taught this morning in Sunday school, and I just kind of opened my life, and I'm an open book, and I live in a glass house. My feet are made of clay, and I'm just like everybody else. And I know the man that is the senior pastor of Fundamental Baptist Church, and you ought to be praying a lot for this ministry. You ought to be asking God to bless in spite of Pastor Rader. Truth be known, I'm not a very romantic man. Valentine almost came and went without me even recognizing it was happening. But I remembered at the last minute. My wife went off to work, and she works in the flower department up there at Super Value. So after she had gone on Valentine's Day, I called her manager, a lady, and said, hey, this is Debbie's husband. Oh, hi, Pastor Rader, how you doing? I said, could you do something for me? It's Valentine's Day, and could you get this message to my wife? buy yourself a flower and a card. Sign my name and make it look like my penmanship. And don't go over $5, and happy Valentine's Day. Needless to say, I was the talk of the store all day long. But, you know, I'm kind of a practical kind of guy like that. In fact, the thought occurred to me, we might incorporate this for next year. Some of you ladies are so mad at me right now. I'm afraid to look at you. I'm looking down here at my Bible. I thought of this. We could start a company here at Fundamental Baptist Church from the men's department. Rent a rose. It wouldn't be much investment. And it'd be not a lot of overhead. It'd work. Rent a rose. Think on that, all right? Psalm 34, let's go there. Let's stand out of respect for God's words. Time to stop being foolish and get into the scripture. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. God's people are always glad when someone else is praising the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Father, amen. We come to you this morning, and God, just get us out of the way. We pray that this would be a Bible message, and God, that you would lighten the hearts of your children. I love these people, and you love them, of course, even more. And you care for them in every way. We read in the Bible that even the hairs of our head are numbered, that we're more valuable than the birds of the air. And when you see the smallest bird fall from the sky, we're the ones that are created in your image and redeemed. What a privilege it is to be your child. For every born again child of God here this morning, remind us, because we're a forgetful people, of how good you are to us. Remind us this morning how you love us and how you gave your very best. Oh, God, forgive us for being ungrateful. And Jesus, if there's, again, someone here not born again, they're on the outside looking in, touch their hearts this morning. And we pray for their salvation, that it would take place today. In Christ's name, amen. Go ahead and be seated. Look down at verse 12 in this psalm. Verse 12. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The psalmist here, by way of testimony, and Spurgeon refers to this psalm. He says, the first 10 verses are a hymn. The last 12 verses are a sermon. That's a good way to divide the psalm up. But what man is there among us, and what woman is there among us, that doesn't want to live a long life and see good days? And the prescription is given right here in verses 13 and 14. Shut up, control your tongue. Run from evil and do good. And pursue peace. Seek the ways of God. And God will bless you. If I were to ask for a raise of hands this morning, how many really want God's blessing on their life and want their life to be long and full and rich? Man, we would all raise our hands. And the psalmist tells us here very clearly, then learn to control your tongue. No guile. No vile words. No anti-gospel words. Hate evil and do good. And seek the Lord. Seek after peace. The things of God. And in the long run, God will bless your home, and your family, your household, and you. But if you're one that runs off at the mouth, and you're one that is always running after evil, man, there's going to be a lot of problems. Instead of serving God, you serve the flesh. Going to be a lot of problems. I owe God everything. Look what the psalmist here says. It's David that writes this. I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. It's a walk with God. It's a pilgrimage. And our daily walk either helps or hinders the gospel. If I have that right spirit that we talked about in Sunday school this morning, and I'm filled with the Spirit of God, my pilgrimage is going to be a pilgrimage of praising God. When I take a step with my right foot is going to be saying, praise the Lord. Take a step with my left foot is going to be saying, glory to God. And with my tongue, I'm going to say, thank you, Jesus. That's going to be my life all the time. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. My pilgrimage. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. That is that life that honors God. That is that life that gives all glory to God. I owe him everything. This morning, I shared it in Sunday school. I'm sorry to repeat this, but man, I had a spell here this morning in the auditorium of Fundamental Baptist Church. About 7:45, about 7:45, if you'd have walked in the doors, you'd have thought that Pastor Rader had slipped a cog. You'd have thought that he's gone nuts. We better call somebody. We've got to get a straitjacket on that man. I'm telling you, Jesus Christ was all over me this morning. Man, I say this, let me get to the text again. But before I do, I want to say this. Pray for me, because I'm not a good preacher. I'm not even a good man. And I recognize it in light of God. Woe is me. Just like the prophet Isaiah. And if I were a better preacher, people would be running to Christ every single time I stood up to preach. They would run down the aisles and come to God. I just don't do a good job with the verbiage and the nouns and the adjectives and the adverbs and the prepositional phrases. I just don't do a good job with it. Because if I was a better preacher and I did a right job of exalting Jesus Christ, they'd be beating down the doors to come to Christ. Man, if I could just live better as a child of God, as a sinner saved by grace, if I could just honor my God in a better way, there'd never be a question of what's worldly and what's not worldly. Man, I'd be all in. And this is what David is saying here. Now, in the text, the context of Psalm 34, David has gotten himself in a tight spot. He's made some poor choices. He's before Abimelech. He's acting like a madman in order to save his life, spitting and scratching at the doors. And because, man, this is David. We need to kill him. And Abimelech realizes that. He's gotten himself in a bad spot, poor choices, his own doing. And God delivers him. And that's why he writes Psalm 34. And he said, God deserves my praise. God deserves continually any exaltation I can give in his direction. Look what it says in verse 1 again. I will bless, that word means make happy. I will bless the Lord at all times, not just on Sunday, at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast, going to brag on Jesus, in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. God, my God, deserves all my praise and more. The songwriter said, oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Wesley said, if I could get 1,000 people to sing the praise that I want to give to God, it wouldn't be enough. If the oceans were ink and I could fill my quill and write it on the sky, on the horizon, I could not exalt the Lord Jesus Christ enough. I owe him everything. And David says, continually. He's talking about all the time and being consistent. God deserves the very best I have as far as service for him. Yeah. And as far as me speaking to him and loving him. And if I could just love God more. Man, I'm so fleshly sometimes. I'm just not even on the same level. Let me get to my outline. Magnify the Lord, verse 3. Magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. That's talking about corporate worship. The sweet psalmist of Israel, King David, says, together, together, let's exalt God. Together, let's continually lift our voices to him. Verse 4 says, I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. He's always there. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. David here speaking in the third person. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. David says this, God is here. Now, we don't see him face to face yet. That day will come. One day. One day, I'm going to look into the face of my Savior. For the very first time, these eyes, with a glorified body, will look into the face of the Redeemer. The lover of the one that went down to the earth and died in my place. The one that hung on the cross for 6 hours in nakedness with the sin of the world on his body. The one who bled out for me and the blood dripped from his body. 6 hours he hung there. The one that was rejected, who God the Father had to turn his only begotten, his face on his only begotten Son, and the world went dark. And Jesus cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You understand? The sin of the world, of every generation, was on the body of the only begotten Son of God. For the wages of sin is death. He took my place. One day I'm going to see him face to face. He deserves my praise. By the way, we'll praise God right there. We'll worship God right then. There won't be any flesh there. The music's going to be glorifying to God. It'll lift him up. Oh, what a day. What a day that's going to be. God is here. Practice the presence of God. Matthew 28:20. I'm with you always, even unto the end of the age. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And the Greek word there for never, is it's actually five times. I will never, 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 never leave thee. That's a promise from God. By the way, there's a message here. This is a promise to live by. Realize this. God is here. The angels are encamped around us. Real quickly, go back to 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 6. And you've got to turn quickly. 2 Kings in chapter 6. Just two verses. I better read more than two verses. I'll start with verse 13. 2 Kings chapter 6. Elijah's being hunted down. The king of the Assyrians, the king of Syria, wants the prophet dead. By the way, the king of this world wants you dead as a child of God. And we pick up reading in verse 13. And he said, go and spy where he is that I may send and fetch him. I'll keep reading. Fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots, a great host. And they came by night, this is the king, and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? In other words, what are we going to do? Elijah, we're surrounded. The king is here to destroy us. Verse 16, and he answered, fear not. What a statement. What an understatement. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elijah. The psalmist David refers to this in Psalm 34, and he says, the angels of the Lord are encamped round about his saints. I know it's a big, bad world. You've got nothing to be afraid of. God will deliver you, David said, from your fears. We're so afraid sometimes. We're afraid of things that are never going to happen. And the devil ties us up in knots and we cease to serve God. And here the psalmist David said, God delivered me. I cried. This poor man, he cried and he delivered me. He delivered me and he encamped. The angel of the Lord is encamped round about me. That spiritual battle that I preached several weeks ago, now as far as angels in this world, that dimension where all the holy warring angels of God are doing spiritual battle for the souls of men today and for the work of God, they're encamped around his saints. When you're in the center of God's will, you're as safe as already in heaven. There ain't nothing going to happen to you except it comes by the hand of God. And it comes into our life on purpose to build us and make us stronger. Don't fail God. He deserves your praise. We're going to get to the other side. We're going to get to heaven and say, man, I just had so little faith. What more I could have done? Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. God is good. God is here and God is good. Verse 8, he's good. He says, stop and experience him. That's what the psalmist is saying. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Nothing spooky about that. Nothing made up about that. I'm telling you, as a sinner saved by grace, the life of serving God is the greatest life in the world. And if I could paraphrase what David is saying, he's saying, come on in, the water's fine. He said, man, just stop your foolishness and see and experience that the Lord is good. He'll be with you in every battle. He'll help you in every difficulty. Even in the winter of 2019, where the snow, we've run out of places to put the snow. The loader can't get it up any higher on the banks. I don't know what we're going to do. Stop and see that the Lord is good. You don't understand. My washer broke. My dryer broke down. The cars, the transmission went in the car. You don't understand. Stop and see that the Lord is good. Transmission went on my snowblower. Right, Art? Amen. Stop and see that the Lord is good. God is good. He's here and he's good. Every good gift and every perfect gift, James said, Pastor James, cometh down from above. My God is good. If we could just preach better, if I could just live better, if I could quit sending mixed signals, our daily walk either helps or hinders the gospel. Kids are watching. Neighbors are watching. Relatives are watching. Stop. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Verse 9. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. God is here. God is good. God is enough. He's enough. He's all I've ever wanted and more. He has always met my needs. Take your Bibles, turn to a familiar verse, Matthew 6:33. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. Again, when David is writing this, understand this, he's put himself in a bad position. And I want to say this, living by faith is the only avenue to God's blessing. We're called to live by faith. Living by faith isn't encompassing yourself and wrapping yourself in all your provisions. You know, you got a big enough checkbook, you got a big enough IRA, you got a nice enough home, you got just the job, you got the dream job. I don't know who's got that, except me, all right, or these guys here. You got the dream job, you got everything you want, all your kids, man, and so you just kind of wrap yourself up and you kind of snuggle up in the corner but next to the fire and take your little snooze and your neighbor goes to hell and the world around you is going to hell and, man, you're missing out. That is not a life of faith. That is not a life of faith. I can remember first treasurer Clayton Loveless. And every treasurer we've had since, same thing. But I remember back in the beginning, man, we had nothing. We had nothing. It was week to week. It was service to service. And God never disappointed. God never let us down. Now we're a big, rich ministry and it's service to service. We just keep giving forth the gospel. We keep pushing forward and advancing. Man, there's nothing about being comfortable in the armies of God. We keep advancing the cause of Christ. There's still more, but know this, he's enough. God is enough. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And in the context, the things he speaks of are the things of this earth: food, clothing, wherewithal, health. He mentions that in Matthew chapter 6. He said, you don't need to toil about those things. You put me first. You seek me. And those things, I'll take care of you. Just like I take care of the sparrows in the air. I will take care of you. Those that fear God. Those that are living a life of faith. Man, God is going to bless. God is enough. I'm almost out of time. I am out of time about as far as the radio is concerned. Understand this. God is enough. God is here. God is good. And God is enough. And God cares, by the way, as well. Skip on ahead to verses 15 and 16. Verses 15 and 16. Oh, there's so much I'm skipping over here, but I got to fit it in this 30 minutes. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. It's a hard life when you're a God hater. It's a hard life when you're a New Testament Christian and you live like the world and do like the world. But it's a better life. Jesus said, you take my yoke upon you, for it's light and it's easy. If you live the life of faith, and you just trust God. You mimic God. Ephesians 5:1, be ye followers of God. Word follower means mimic. Be like God. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, verse 17, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Can't get born again until you recognize you're a sinner and you're sorry for that sin. Then you turn to God. That's called repentance. It's not a game and it's not a religion. And you ask Jesus to forgive you, to come into your heart. That's when you get saved. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Wait a minute. I just camp right there. Give me 60 seconds on this verse. I thought if I got saved, everything was going to be just fine. You told me that, preacher. In fact, you just got through saying that, preacher. I thought if I got saved, life would be a bowl of cherries. Everything would be hunky-dory. And that is a Greek word that means everything's going to be just fine, right? I thought when I got born again, man, I wasn't going to have any more trouble. And the psalmist, the sweet psalmist of Israel, King David, the man after God's own heart, said, God delivers me from my troubles. You're still going to have troubles. You're still going to have difficulties. But you will, listen to this, you will never be alone. Never. And God will deliver you from the troubles. You'll get in the troubles. You'll be right up to here. You'll cry out to God, and God will deliver you every single time. That's a promise to live by. You're not going to go down for three times and then sink out of sight. You belong to God. By the way, it would be a wise thing to call out to him right away. Let's go to verse 20. He keepeth all his bones, and not one of them is broken. That's a messianic prophecy there. Verse 21, evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. They'll be guilty. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. God cares. He hears our prayers, and he delivers us from trouble. That's why the psalmist said, God deserves my praise continually, all of the time. How many days did you go last week without exalting Jesus Christ? I just throw that out there. If you did one, shame on you. And I said I wasn't going to preach against sin, didn't I? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.